Have you ever wondered whether you need an X-ray or an MRI? Well, if so, you're going to want to listen to this episode of the Concast. Happy Friday. My name is Connor Collins. I am a registered massage therapist and sports injury therapist practicing 45 minutes outside of Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And welcome to episode 29 of the Concast, a podcast where we discuss all things health, wellness, fitness, and injuries in an attempt to better understand the human body. And for episode 29, what we're going to discuss is whether or not you need an MRI, if you've gotten an MRI, what the findings on your MRI mean, and where to go from there, because this can often be very confusing if you're a patient that's gotten, say, an X-ray or an MRI, an ultrasound. You get this sheet of paper with a whole bunch of big words on it, and it can often create a lot of anxiety or uncertainty around the injury that you have. Or if you're a therapist or a newer therapist that doesn't see MRI reports, then what might you want to do? So I thought it would be a good topic of discussion. So I want to open the podcast first by saying this is by no means medical advice. These topics that we're going to discuss are not to replace working diagnosis by an overseeing specialist that you're seeing, a family doctor, a therapist. This is all just for information to open up a discussion around what might we want to consider either as a therapist or as a patient when we come across certain words, certain things on the images that we see or the reports that we get with respect to an injury. This episode was really sparked by a patient that I had seen earlier this week that had suffered a knee injury. And the mechanism of injury was seemingly innocuous. And what that means is it wasn't a really big event that caused this pain to happen. And I'd been seeing this patient for some time and they had gotten substantially better to the point where they were fully functional with next to no pain. And they had had an MRI booked many months ago prior to COVID-19 and then subsequently got it many months later. But their symptoms had resolved. And when the MRI report came in, the findings on the MRI report were substantial for a knee injury. So some of the words that were used in the MRI report were complex medial meniscal tear. So the inside meniscus, the cartilage or shock absorbing pad in the knee was torn in multiple places. The ACL or anterior cruciate ligament was completely torn with some evidence of maybe an old avulsion fracture or a piece or chip of bone taken away. The MCL, the medial collateral ligament, was also torn. And this injury is what's known as the unhappy triad, tearing your medial meniscus, your MCL, and your ACL. There was also evidence of tendinosis or tendon injury to a muscle known as popliteus, as well as a cyst there, and then some wear and tear arthritic development on the underside of the kneecap. So for all intents and purposes, this was a very complex case in terms of the report that was given based on the MRI that was done on this knee. Now the question becomes is, what do you do if you're the patient that receives this, or what do you do if you're the therapist that is seeing the patient that's just received this report? Because for all intents and purposes, the knee was pain-free now, and from a function standpoint, there was nothing that was inhibiting this person in terms of their activity daily living. So it really does present a bit of a challenge on how to navigate this from a global, long-term picture perspective. And I think the first thing that you want to do is to try and just bring some reassurance and calmness to the scenario or the situation, because often if the patient's bringing you in this report, they are quite apprehensive about the words that they have seen, and many of the words are unfamiliar to them. We certainly don't want the patient to be overly apprehensive or catastrophize the current situation, especially if they've done well up until this point. So I think the first thing is to try and bring some overall reassurance and calmness to the scenario. In this circumstance, the patient's family doctor had already made the appropriate referral to an orthopedic surgeon for a consultation. And it's important that the patient carries through with this process and gets all of the information from as many different avenues as possible so they can make an informed decision with maybe their friends, their family, and the overseeing healthcare team, of which if you're a therapist, you're going to be included in there. I would never discourage somebody from, once they've had a referral, from letting go of that referral. I think it's important that they go and see a surgeon for a surgical opinion, because that's what they're going to get when they go to see a surgeon. They're not going to give them a manual therapy opinion or a rehabilitation opinion. They're going to give them a truly surgical opinion, and it's important for them to hear what that is going to be. And many surgeons have expertise in dealing with these injuries, and it's important to get those surgeons to look at the injury as well, because it offers the patient information. So if you are a patient and you have a referral to a specialist, even if your symptoms have substantially decreased, I would certainly suggest that you continue with that referral to make sure that everything is checked out, the injury or the condition has appropriately progressed, or is there something underlying that's gone amiss or changed? These are really, really important things that those specialists can look at. And so it is important that you carry through with those appointments appropriately. Once calm has been established, I think it's important to explain the unknown to the patient and explain some of these findings that have gone on from an anatomical perspective. And a lot of this has to do with how comfortable you are at explaining the anatomy and what some of these injuries are to the patient. Now, some people would argue that in certain spaces, this is outside of the scope of practice of the practitioner, and that's simply not true. To explain anatomy and explain what an injury is and explain what the current research or evidence would suggest with respect to different alternatives to treatment, different outcomes, this is our responsibility as therapists. It's not outside of our scope of practice. Our responsibility is to educate and provide a non-invasive or non-surgical view as to how we might be able to help with the particular injury that the patient is suffering from. From there, it's important that you do your own physical exam. And the number one question that you need to ask yourself is, how does the exam match up against what the patient's experiencing from the therapist standpoint? So things like, is the patient fit? Do they have a good health profile or level of fitness? Are they on any medications? What is their pain level? Is there swelling or any evidence of severe injury in the area? How does it affect their activities of daily life? And last and certainly not least is, are they willing and ready to do work in terms of rehabbing the injury? So in the case of this patient, they had a high level of fitness, a great health profile, they were on no medications, they had no pain, and despite all of these findings on their image, they had very little to no swelling in the knee depending upon when you examined it. The knee didn't also feel structurally abnormal, it wasn't hypermobile. The activities of daily living that the patient was going through was not affected. They were able to play all of their sports, including skiing, including tennis. And after questioning the patient for some time, it appears that this injury probably happened 5 to 6 years ago and was never examined at that point in time, and has been this sort of ongoing injury that has had these minimal flare-ups over time. Lastly, they were willing to do the work. They were very eager to put in the rehab, and from their perspective, did not want to go through with the surgery. Now, again, this is not my decision to make for them. They need to be educated from all avenues. So the reality of it is that when you look at an injury like this and you look at how the overall patient can be affected by this, or you as the patient can be affected by this, what is the reality of not getting surgery? Well, the reality is there's really three scenarios. It might get better, it might stay at its current state, or it might get worse. And those are truly the three realities. There are people that don't get surgery on their knee and are perfectly fine throughout the course of their life. There are people that don't get surgery on their knee and will have little flare-ups that they will manage, or large flare-ups that they'll be able to manage without surgery. And then there are people that get substantially worse and require surgery. So those are the three major realities, and that goes with really any injury. When you boil it down to it, those are the three scenarios that a person would have to make a decision upon. And that's why it's so important to have all of the available opinions, resources, and information in front of you prior to making that decision. Now, outside of the context of this specific scenario or case, and there is no resolution to this case because it's ongoing, we know that the knee is in a current high state of functioning. We are going to continue rehabbing it. There is an appropriate referral being put in place to a knee specialist that patient will see, and then a decision will be made on the future of whether to get surgery or not. Now, as you age as well, you have to bear in mind that as you get older, there might be slow recovery to surgery, and that's something that also needs to be taken into account. So there are many, many factors in this case that both the person that's experiencing it, as well as me being part of the healthcare team and all of the other people that are overseeing care, will help make an informed decision for the patient. And at the end of the day, you have to be okay with whatever decision that is being made as the right decision for that particular period of time. This doesn't have to be a be-all, end-all decision. If collectively the patient decided to not get surgery, that doesn't mean that they can't get surgery at a later date if things get worse down the road. Now, these are cases that I would see on a regular basis, either weekly or monthly, and it really begs the question, in general, is it important to get an x-ray or is it important to get an MRI? And then further to that, are the findings that are on the MRI important to the patient's overall case or presentation? And what we've started to see in healthcare is a real push to say that imaging doesn't necessarily matter as much, where x-rays, ultrasounds, and MRIs, CT scans, for example, in the past were always ordered. And there's a large push to say imaging doesn't need to be ordered as readily. And while there might be some truth to this, we can't push the pendulum the complete opposite direction and say imaging doesn't matter in its entirety. There have been many studies that have looked at this and looked at patient presentation and, for example, an MRI to see whether or not we can match up what a patient is feeling against what the MRI is showing with respect to the structural injury, for example. And two more notable studies in this were done in 2015 by Brinjicji, and he was looking at the relationship between low back pain and disc herniations, or low back pain and a variety of different injury processes going on in the back. And I'll link those two studies in the show notes so you can look at them further. But one of the biggest takeaways that I took from the study as a therapist is that really what we have to understand is, do the findings correlate with the patient's current pain experience? For example, are they experiencing a lot of shoulder pain? They are quite dysfunctional in certain tests that I do, and there is an ultrasound showing a substantial rotator cuff tear to the muscle that I expect might be injured on my exam. That might be an example of where the image and the injury might correlate together. Versus if I have an x-ray of a knee and the knee is showing quite mild, very early stage wear and tear arthritis, and the patient is experiencing kind of a dull, achy knee, I would maybe see that finding and say, those two might not necessarily be correlated. The patient may have generalized knee pain. I don't know what the x-ray on the other knee says, so I might just keep that x-ray in the back of my mind always versus the first example. Then there might need to be a more immediate intervention. They might need to be referred back to their family doctor for additional appointments based on what the image is saying. So really, in essence, is how functional is the individual that I'm seeing? Are they playing a sport? How functional are they in their sport? How functional are they at their job? And how functional are they at their activities of daily living, doing the things that they love to do? And are these findings that are on the accompanied MRI, X-ray, or ultrasound playing a role in how they go about doing these activities of daily living? Other questions to ask are, is there a smoking gun? And a smoking gun is, can we say certainly that this is causing that on the image? Do they get an X-ray and they have a broken arm? It's very clear that if a person comes in with wrist pain, we get an X-ray and they've got that wrist pain or broken arm, that's a smoking gun. The X-ray and the image are 100% correlating to what the patient's going through. Now, I would say that outside of the broken bone scenario or something substantial with a very clear mechanism of injury, the smoking gun is often hard to come by, which is why less and less surgeries are being done and medical procedures that are less invasive are usually being used as a precursor to a lot of the surgeries that might have been done in the past. Also, is there any red flags? Has the patient not received an image, but there are some things that you find on their health history or their physical exam that are concerning to you? So for example, are they getting dull, achy night pain? Have they lost a lot of weight? Are they waking up with the night sweats? These are red flags that need to be investigated by their family doctor or the specialist that they're seeing. And so if somebody's experiencing these red flags, they need to be looked at if they don't already have the reason as to why they might be happening. What direction are they going in terms of their healing? Are they getting better? Are they staying the same? Are they getting progressively worse? If they've been receiving some therapy or you're the patient, you've been going through some therapy and you're just not getting better and you're getting progressively worse and worse without any true finding, then it might be time to explore some imaging or a specialist appointment. And then the last two are very, very important. What is the overall health status of the person? Are they in poorer health? Are they in very good health? And I've mentioned this one before, are they willing to do the work and put in the work to do this rehab in an attempt to avoid surgery, or at least give it a try in an attempt to avoid surgery? And I believe that when all these considerations are taken, the patient or the person that's experiencing this stands the best chance of recovery. And in some circumstances, surgery might be part of recovery, and in other circumstances, surgeries may not be. But if I'm able to ask these questions, generally speaking, I'm able to refer back to an overseeing specialist or family doctor for them to have a look, and ultimately they're going to make the decision on whether to request imaging and refer to specialists appropriately. And then once that's been put in place, then I can help be part of that overall healthcare team with the hopes of giving the patient the best patient outcomes possible. And this paired with, again, creating that calming environment, managing any anxieties from the person that's experiencing the injury or the condition, in my experience, has managed to help a lot of people over the years. My question for you is, how important do you think MRIs, X-rays, ultrasounds play in managing an injury? If you are a patient, do you believe that you should always have one? If you're a therapist, do you believe that you should always have one? I'd love to know in the comments below. As always, I've hoped that you found this podcast to be valuable for you. Have yourself a great weekend, folks, and we'll see you in the next one.